Hey, grown-ups, if you live in the Midwest United States, you can bring your kids to see Story Pirates live on the Amazing Adventure Tour, proudly sponsored by Carnegie Hall Kids. You can find tickets at storypirates.com/live. Shows feature Eric from the Story Pirates podcast and Peter, hosting in Wisconsin and Illinois. The Amazing Adventure Tour is headed to these cities in May: Iowa City, Iowa; St. Paul, Minnesota; Akron, Ohio; Plainfield, Indiana; Milwaukee and Madison, Wisconsin, featuring Peter; Skokie and Joliet, Illinois, also featuring Peter. We really would love to see you there. That ticket link again is storypirates.com/live.
Now back to the show.
Hey, grown-ups, if you're a fan of comedy, there's a brand new podcast from our friend Justin Bartha that I wanted to tell you about. You may remember Justin from episode 7 this season. He's the treasure hunter at the Met and, as you heard, a seriously funny actor. Justin's show is called King of the Egg Cream, and in addition to Justin, it has just the most incredible cast. Again, this show's just for grown-ups and probably older kids. Grown-ups, you can take a listen yourself and see what you think. But if you're a fan of hilarious stuff and well-told stories, you will probably like King of the Egg Cream. Here's a taste.
This egg cream is delicious. I wish the chocolate syrup inside wasn't so expensive. If you'd like to save some shekels and have some fun at the same time, make sure you tune in to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, back to the show.
Story Pirates. Kids write stories. We act them out. Kids write more.
Welcome back to the Story Pirates podcast. My name's Lee.
My name's Peter.
And the Story Pirates take stories written by kids, turn them into radio plays. Peter, what is today's story?
That is a good question, Lee. Today's story comes to us from a then third grader from Arlington, Virginia, named Bridget Donaghy. And Bridget's story is called Ronald Reagan and the Pineapple Paradise.
This is from the show where we asked kids to come up with stories that we called presidential fan fiction.
Historical presidential fan fiction.
Made up stories about real presidents.
And this one is exactly that. It's about Ronald Reagan, and it is totally made up.
All right, so before we hear the Story Pirates adaptation of Bridget's story, let's hear the original story that she sent in to us.
Take it away, Lee.
Ronald Reagan and the Pineapple Paradise. Trice upon a time. Psst, what? It's once upon a time. Fine. Once upon a time, how's that? Better. Okay, Mr. Ronald liked pineapple. 2 months after becoming president, people found Pineapple Island. The explorers said cool things like, the natives, they looked at us and took us to the city, but guess what? The natives are pineapples. We took a piece of our chairs, which were pineapples, and ate them. Now the natives were scared to death at the sight of us, so they were made of, well, you know, pineapples. So we took them to Banana Land, and they seemed to find it appealing there. It's all yours, Ronald. So Ronald moved to Pineapple Island, right under Mount Pineapples, which blew every winter. But instead of lava, it blew grilled pineapple. But not everything was made of pineapple. Ronald's house was made of pineapple-shaved brick, and his things had pineapple carvings in them. Ronald married a 21-year-old girl named Rachel. Together, they had 44 pineapple-loving kids. The ending. It's the end. The end.
Boy, our writers love to give their narrators a hard time.
Unreliable narrators are very popular in the Story Pirates.
Oh, boy.
So here it is from Bridget Donaghy, Ronald Reagan, and the Pineapple Paradise.
Trice upon a time.
Psst.
What?
It's once upon a time.
Fine. Once upon a time. How's that?
That's better.
Once upon a time, there was a press conference with Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States.
Hello, everybody.
Woo! Yeah!
Thank you. I am here to announce that only 2 months after becoming your president, explorers have located a new country. Pineapple Island.
Mr. President!
Ronald, if I may, isn't it true that you really, really like pineapple?
Well, my favorite food is jelly beans.
Yes! We love you!
Mr. President, who discovered Pineapple Island?
Well, let me introduce them to you right now. These two explorers are the ones who made the discovery, and they have some pretty cool things to say.
Thank you, Mr. President. When we first arrived on the island, the natives looked us over, and then they took us to their city.
Yeah, but guess what? The natives are pineapples.
Oh, goodness.
We had forgotten to eat lunch that day, what with all of the excitement, so we took a piece of our chairs, which coincidentally just happened to be made out of pineapples, and ate them.
So, of course, now the natives were scared to death at the sight of us because they are all essentially, you know,
they're pineapples.
Right. So, we decided to take them to Banana Land, and the good news is they seem to find it appealing there. I say we took them to Banana Land, and they seem to find it appealing there. appealing.
Get it? Oh, come on, bring back Ronald!
Okay, everyone's a critic.
Mr. President, what's your take on all this?
Well, I am bananas for pineapples.
Yes! Woo! We love you!
So, I am officially announcing that I am moving to Pineapple Island. Into a beautiful little house I designed myself right under Mount Pineapples.
Mr. President!
Which erupts every winter.
No! That's terrible!
Wait! Calm down. Instead of lava, it erupts grilled pineapples.
What a joker!
No, truly. When the volcano erupts, it rains down delicious grilled pineapple instead of lava. I'm completely serious. My popularity is actually starting to get kind of frustrating.
Mr. President, not everything there is made of pineapple, is it?
Well, no. My house is made of pineapple-shaped bricks. Oh, look. Here comes the natives of Pineapple Island.
We represent the Pineapple Guild, the Pineapple Guild.
We are proud to have Mr. Gipper come to live with us.
All of his things have pineapple carvings in them.
Everything he owns there looks like pineapples.
Mr. President,
are you obsessed with pineapples?
Well, I've often said that all great change in America begins at the dinner table. That's something I actually said. This concludes the press conference.
And so, after moving to Pineapple Island, Ronald married a 21-year-old woman named Rachel. Together, they had 44 pineapple-loving kids.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rachel, and I just like to say...
Look that... out! Mount Pineapple is erupting!
Wait! It's grilled pineapple, I tell you! There's nothing to fear!
And so delicious grilled pineapple rained down on one and all. The ending!
It's the end.
Who are you anyway?
I'm Ron Reagan Jr.
That makes sense. The end!
And now Lee speaks with the author herself, Bridget.
Hi.
Hey, Bridget, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for talking to me today about your story. So, you wrote the story Ronald Reagan and the Pineapple Paradise.
Yep.
So, how long ago did you write that?
Like 6 to 4 years ago.
It's been a while, right?
Yeah.
So, I think you were in third grade when you wrote it, is that right?
Yeah.
And how old are you now?
I'm in seventh grade.
Amazing. So, do you remember how you got the idea for that story?
Kind of. Like, I didn't really know a lot about presidents at the time. Like, I knew Abraham Lincoln and, you know, Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, but there were a lot of presidents I didn't really know about, so I decided to do Ronald Reagan, even though I didn't have any idea who he was or what he did. I just flipped through a book and, like, found his name. And then I guess I just decided to do Pineapple Paradise because I guess I liked pineapples or something.
Amazing. And I think you did, like, pretty much, like, the silliest thing possible that you could do with a president.
Yeah.
So have you learned anything? Do you know anything about Ronald Reagan now?
Well, I know he's older than I thought he was. I thought he was, like, 20, maybe. But he was actually, like, pretty old.
Yeah, I think he's one of our older presidents, right?
Yeah. I didn't know that, and I didn't actually know much about the presidency at all, like elections or anything.
Yeah.
Well, I've learned about that now, but...
Are you interested in politics or presidents or in that stuff in particular?
A little bit. I like economics a lot in school. I think it's fun, and we talk about, like, politics a little bit in that class, but... I mean, it's not something I really want to do when I grow up.
Right. So when you say economics, do you mean like statistics and charts and graphs and things like that?
The economics class I take is kind of just, it's an intro to economics, like how to save money, also how politics affects money and all this stuff. And it's pretty cool.
Wow. That sounds awesome.
I really like my teacher in that class.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So is that like, you guys get electives in seventh grade?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You live in Arlington, right?
Yep.
Arlington, Virginia?
Yep.
What's that place like for people that have never been there?
It's pretty cool. There's a lot of nice places to go to. Like, there's some nice places like Shirlington and stuff where there's like restaurants and there's a couple movie theaters around. It's a really nice place to be. To live in and to visit. People are pretty nice in Arlington.
Nice.
And also what's nice is it's really close to D.C.
Oh.
So you get to go see the monuments a lot and museums.
What's your favorite thing to go see in D.C.?
I like the monuments a lot. They're pretty cool to go to. I like the Lincoln Monument, or the Lincoln Memorial, sorry, and the Washington Monument. Those are some of my favorites.
So in your story, you, at the end of your story, you had Ronald married a 21-year-old girl named Rachel. And that's, so that, now I understand that that's because you thought Ronald Reagan was really young, right?
Yeah, I thought he was a lot younger than he actually is.
Amazing.
And it's kind of embarrassing to read the story again and like, like see that I wrote that.
I wouldn't be embarrassed because I think that's really funny. And sometimes we write something by accident that ends up being the most special part of a story. So if I were you, I'd feel pretty great about that detail. Are you, you're a big pineapple fan as well?
I like pineapple. Like, I think I like apples and peaches more, but pineapples are pretty good.
They are pretty good. So Bridget, do you write a lot?
I like to write, yeah. I just write little stories sometimes at school. In English class and stuff. It's fun, but I don't plan on becoming a writer when I grow up. I kind of want to be like a software engineer or something.
So you like working with computers?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff do you like to do with computers?
Just program a little bit. I take a coding course.
Oh man, you can code?
My electives too, yeah.
What kind of code do you do?
So far I've been doing block script.
Whoa.
But I've done a little bit of Swift language and some Python, and then I'm going to learn Java later in the year.
I don't know what any of those mean, but they all have cool names.
Yeah.
Especially Python. It sounds like the scariest of all the codes.
Actually, it's one of the easiest. Java's pretty hard. I've heard.
Really?
Do you feel
like coding's hard, or is it something that most people could pick up?
I think most people could pick it up. It's really fun, and it's pretty easy, and there's a lot of websites that are, like, dedicated to like helping people learn code.
So if you're a kid out there and you wanted to learn how to write code for computers, what advice would you give those kids?
Well, visit places like code.org or scratch.com, I think. Scratch is like this block script. You just get to create all these things, and you get to see other people's projects and get ideas, and it has tutorials and stuff. And then code.org has a bunch of like links to other projects. So there's ones like drawing ones and ones that are like mission ones where you have to like get one character to go to a certain place using blocks or...
Very cool. Python. Well, Bridget, thank you so much for talking to me today.
You're welcome.
And most of all, thanks for letting us perform your story.
You're welcome. It was fun to listen to.
Oh, yeah. What was it like when you heard it?
It was pretty cool. Like, my parents had kind of told me, like, it was going to be on, so we had turned on the radio. We were listening, and it was just really exciting to, like, hear it being read. And it sounded like pretty much what I had wanted it to sound like.
Oh, that's great.
It was really cool.
The way that you wrote it, you had the narrator was constantly being interrupted, right?
A little bit, yeah.
Do you remember where you got that idea from?
Well, I had kind of listened to, like, Story Pirates stories before, because I liked listening to kids play Slime and stuff. And I liked how in a lot of skits there were, like, there was, like, the narrator and then this little extra person who would always, like, you know, talk with the narrator or, like, argue with the narrator and stuff. And I kind of like that. So I wanted to kind of, like, put that in my story.
That's awesome. So, yeah, like, it made it feel more like a script.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for any kids out there that want to write a story but don't know how to start?
I think they should make it as original as they can and first just come up with an idea, like, I don't know, a talking banana or something.
Cool.
And then just go on from there. Like, what is the talking banana doing? Is it swimming at a beach or something? Or is it, like, I don't know, buying groceries? And then from there, you just write your story from there. You just expand on the idea and just put stuff that you find interesting, that you think is funny, and other people will probably think it's funny. Or at least appreciate the originality of it.
That's great advice. Thanks, Bridget.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to today's podcast. And if you want to see the Story Pirates live in person, come visit us in New York City. We perform on select Saturdays throughout the year in Midtown Manhattan. And we feature new stories each week with kid authors there to take a bow after the show. Find our full schedule at our website, storypirates.com. Also coming up later this spring, you can see the Story Pirates in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Lake Placid, New York, and Concord, New Hampshire, just to name a few. Again, check out our website, storypirates.com, and click performances at the top for details, times, and tickets. While you're there, you can also buy t-shirts for the Story Pirates fan in your life. Also, a very special announcement. The Story Pirates are officially writing a book. That's right, a book, like a real one you can buy and hold in your hand. We asked kids out there to send us ideas for a full-length book, and we got one from an amazing kid, and we're writing the book. Go online, check it out for yourself. You can go to storypirates.com/book and read all about it. More info on that in the months to come. Please remember to friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. And we will see you next time.
Hey, grown-ups! Today's episode is sponsored by Carnegie Hall Kids. Carnegie Hall Kids is a free website for children ages 5 through 12 to learn about music through fun games and quizzes, igniting imagination in children, offering activities that encourage musical curiosity, and developing knowledge of musical concepts. To find all of the fun, child-friendly games and quizzes, just go to,
just go to... Jeez, I can't remember. Hey, Peter!
Hey, Lee!
Peter, do you know how to get to Carnegie Hall, kids?
I sure do. Practice, practice, practice.
No. That's the old joke about Carnegie Hall. I'm wondering if you know how to get to Carnegie Hall, kids.
Kids can practice too, Lee. Jeez.
I know kids can practice. I'm just wondering how to find Carnegie Hall, kids.
It's on 7th Ave between 56th and 57th Street.
No, Peter, not the physical Carnegie Hall. I'm talking about the website Carnegie Hall Kids, where kids can check out fun musical games and quizzes.
I'm not sure I follow.
Well, there's one quiz called Animal or Instrument.
Ooh, good question. I think you either sound like a crow or a trumpet.
No, not me. Animal or Instrument is a quiz that asks kids to listen to sounds and then guess how they're made.
Sounds okay. I'd rather learn about different musical traditions from different cultures, though.
You can do that at Carnegie Hall Kids, too. I just need to know how to get there.
You're going to want to take the NQ or R train to 57th Street. You can't miss it.
It's a website!
I can make an elephant sound!
Very good, Peter.
Thank you.
Start your child's musical journey today at kids.carnegiehall.org.
Hey, you figured it out!
That's kids.carnegiehall.org. Hey, grown-ups! Today's episode is brought to you by Paramount Pictures' new big-screen family comedy adventure, IF. Set within the magical world of imaginary friends, IF's fantastically fun, original story entertains audiences of all ages and delivers a comedy packed with lots of laughs and heart. IF is in theaters May 17th. Personally, I'm looking forward to seeing IF because of all the weird, wild, and funny characters. I saw the trailer, and there's this weird banana-looking character that you can only see in the trailer for like a second, but I'm obsessed. What's that guy's deal? I cannot wait to find out. Plus, if you know me, you know I like a stacked cast, and this one has got it all. Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., and Steve Carell. A-list much? Not to mention that IF also has my personal favorite actor of all time. That's right, Jon Stewart. I am excited to see this movie, not least of all, because I'd like to see and or hear Jon Stewart on the big screen. From visionary director John Krasinski, IF is about a girl who discovers that she can see everyone's imaginary friends. It's the perfect movie to see with the whole family and takes audiences on a magical big screen adventure filled with heart and hilarious laughs that are meant to be shared. Best of all, IF celebrates the power of a child's imagination, which, you know, sounds pretty good to me. See IF in theaters May 17th.